Here It Comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, and we're going to put a great spotlight on the Southwest for this show. Thanks for joining us. And I am very happy to welcome back as my guest, Ruth Ryman, who is the Travel Demand Management Manager for Pima Association of Governments. I told her I love saying that, and I say it slowly because it's a mouthful, a little bit of alliteration in there. She makes lots of wheels on lots of buses go round and round, so to speak. Ruth, welcome.
Thank you.
And let's get started because you have a lot of content and 30 minutes is going to fly. And why don't we start with giving people who may be listening to Mrs. Green's World down to earth for the first time what it is you do as the Travel Demand Management Manager.
I have a really cool job at PAG, one in which I'm able to tap into many different projects and things going on in the community because my job is to promote alternative transportation at employers, with commuters, with residents. So I can get into the bike ped side, I get into the transit side, the new Sunlinks streetcar that's coming along, I'll probably be involved with. But a lot of my job is working with employers, trying to promote alternative transportation, as well as promoting carpooling, vanpooling. We have a really great vanpool program. So I get very involved in expanding that and adding vanpools to our fleet. So there's just loads of things that I do. And one of the most fun projects I'm working on now is Tucson on the Move, which is something we recently created. It grew out of a pilot study that we did last year in the Keeling neighborhood, where we went into a particular neighborhood that had just gotten some new infrastructure, the new bike boulevard, the 4th Avenue Fontana bike boulevard, and we wanted to promote use on that bike boulevard. So we went into this particular neighborhood and invited them to register and join our program and learn about active modes of transportation. We educated, we provided activities, we had events where people could participate and learn how to get around their neighborhood by biking, walking, and riding the bus. And from that pilot study in Keeling, we've grown it into Tucson on the Move. And maybe not every year, but hopefully every 12 months to 18 months, we'll work with a new neighborhood and go into that neighborhood similarly to Keeling and promote active transportation, offer bike rides, neighborhood walks, bike repair events. We're going to do a walking audit, and we're going to do our treasure hunt, which was a huge success in Keeling.
Love that. Everybody loves them. That's a great idea.
The kids had a blast, and we found public art in the neighborhood, and we gave everybody a little card, and they had to figure out how to get around the neighborhood without their vehicle and find the various art objects throughout the neighborhood. And the kids had a blast. And we even had one of the local seniors do it in her motorized wheelchair. It was just a wonderful morning. And we plan on doing that in the new neighborhood, which is Palo Verde. So we're going to be working with them starting in October. And they're kind of midtown Tucson over by Catalina High School. And they're all excited about us coming there with Palo Verde on the Move. And we're going to have a bunch of stuff going on from October through May of next year.
When you really want to be outside, unlike in this wonderful thing we call the desert heat. But let me ask you this. When you pick a neighborhood, how did you decide that Keeling would be first and Palo Verde would be next? I mean, in terms of the study, what kind of things are you looking for to make sure this is going to be at least hopefully an active participatory community?
Well, good question, because there are some things that we do look for. Keeling was kind of chosen because of the infrastructure, because we had this bike boulevard and we wanted a neighborhood that was along the bike boulevard. So that was a specific area that we were looking to promote. And Keeling was a neighborhood that actually the bike boulevard goes right through this neighborhood. And they had an active neighborhood association, and they have a elementary school in the community, which was a huge benefit for the program. It was a great source for us to communicate.
Get the kids involved, and then they get the parents involved.
Exactly. Right. It was really helpful. Now, when we went to the next neighborhood, that was a little bit more challenging. We were looking for a lower income neighborhood. We wanted to stay in the city of Tucson, and we first started looking at the infrastructure. Where is there good biking and walking infrastructure? Because that is key to having a successful program. There wasn't anything new on the horizon, so we kind of looked at the established infrastructure, and we did talk to several neighborhoods before we settled on Palo Verde. We did talk to South Tucson, and they happened to be just too busy. They had too much stuff going on, so we didn't want all these conflicts, and we didn't want to compete with other things that they were promoting.
Right, you wanted to succeed.
Exactly. And then the second neighborhood we went to wasn't all that interested in what we had to offer. So our third choice was Palo Verde, and they've just been thrilled that they were third on the list and are able to participate. They don't have an elementary school, but they do have a high school. They have an active neighborhood association. They do have some very good infrastructure, although they don't have a bike boulevard. There are some sidewalks, not a lot, but a lot of bike lanes and bike routes.
It's a very stable neighborhood, too. I mean, it is. I've been here 37 years, and that neighborhood, people live there and stay there, and you don't see a lot for sale, so that's good. But when you say we met with them, who do you start meeting with? Do you meet with the neighborhood associations first, or the school, or how do you start?
First, this time we went to the ward office. We went to the councilman for that area, Steve Kasachek, and we talked with his office, and we actually went over all the neighborhoods in his ward to see where he would recommend us going, and he was quite happy with us going to that neighborhood and recommended it. And then we go to the neighborhood association to get their buy-in, and because we're going to need a lot of volunteers and we need their involvement. So we got them on board, and then I sell it to my management at PAG, and we're on our way.
But there's, to me, one of the things that I love in what I've read about it is there's really a fun factor, too. And I think that gets people excited because you have to make it fun. It doesn't sound hard and, oh, we're going to, you know, cut down on pollution and blah, blah, blah. It sounds like it's really fun. What about the piece of, like, there's you, right? And who comes up with, I'm really not wanting to put you on the spot, but who comes up with the list of creative activities? Are there other organizations that are doing it in other states, or there are other counties? I mean, it's a lot of stuff to do in a neighborhood to make happen, to engage them. So there's Ruth and
I have a whole team of people helping me. So a lot of it is me, and a lot of it is PAG supporting me and doing this program. But we have a huge team of other agencies and organizations that help. And so luckily, I don't have to do it all.
It's partnerships.
Yes, totally. And Pima County is right at the top of the list. They have bike safety classes. They have their bike ambassadors that we are going to use to lead our neighborhood bike rides. And we're doing two of those to the Loop. Living Streets Alliance is going to sponsor a critical mass in the neighborhood. And they're going to do a walking audit in the neighborhood. And then we have Bikus will come out. And GABA will be our bike repair people. We have mechanics because we're going to do a couple bike repair events. SunTran is there. And they'll be at the events. So it's how can I lead out City of Tucson? So City of Tucson's involved. And so we have a whole bunch of other organizations that sponsor and as well as put on many of the events that are part of the whole program.
And, you know, I know you care about measuring success and lasting impact, and I really mean that. So what is, like, you're moved on from Keeling. What kind of things happened? Were there surprises, things that you didn't expect that were side benefits? What was your feeling like? Did you leave the neighborhood transformed and there'll be more good things going on because this was the focus?
Yes, and I love talking about Keeling because Keeling turned out to be a smashing
success.
Yeah, we didn't measure a lot of behavior change. When we did that, we did a post-study phone survey, and people did not say they changed their behavior. Their awareness of infrastructure and active modes improved quite a bit. And their attitude towards using those active modes improved, but their actual behavior did not show much change. Actually, it changed negatively. And we think and hope that was when we surveyed, because as you've said, it's our desert summer and we surveyed in June. So it's not likely that people are going to be out.
The hottest month of the year in Tucson. I mean, seriously. So yeah, I think that was like probably a factor. Yeah,
exactly.
Don't call me.
But what we found beyond the transportation benefits that we were looking for is there was a great deal of community that was built through this program and a sense of safety and security
That's huge.
Yes. And there was a lot of things that happened in the neighborhood after the pilot study was over that the neighborhood took on. So they adopted their park in their neighborhood, and now they're cleaning that on a regular basis, which just changes the whole appearance of Glen, where the desert park is. We've added a couple, I don't want to say we, SunTran added a couple new bus stops on First Avenue, which look so much better and just provide so much better accommodations for bus riders on First Avenue. Then the biggie was that Keeling was an activity hub in Ciclovia too. And they
so glad you brought that up, because I want to talk about that too. So go ahead.
Yes, they were so excited. They earned it and we had a great time. Keeling was at one end of the route on Ciclovia 2, and they had one of the residents decided she was going to do an art project for the bike boulevard. So we set up a tent and she had all the participants who came down sit down and paint tiles and glaze tiles for this art project. And then she went through and put it all together with some other neighbors in the area, and they installed this on Fontana. And if you haven't seen it, you need to go over to Fontana, right south of Blackledge. It's on the east side of the street, and it's this magnificent tile obelisk with a finial. I've learned all these words. A finial on top of a...
Tell me what a finial is. And I shared it on Facebook. I saw it, and it is truly, not to sound cliche, a work of art. I mean, it's fabulous. It just brings brightness to a neighborhood.
And it's fabulous. It's so much fun because my name's on there, and anybody who did a tile at Ciclovia should go and look for their tile on the obelisk. So a finial is the little thing that sits on the top. And in this case, it's a dog riding a bicycle. And it's just so cute. And the whole piece is just beautiful. So the neighborhood's really proud of that.
And who did that art project?
Jane Evans is the leader of the pack on that one. And she recruited some of her neighbors and other residents who knew how to do welding, who knew about grouting tiles, who knew engineering to install it. And so she had a whole team of people putting that together. And it worked out great.
So to me, you really and truly did impact a neighborhood and change behaviors. It's measuring a different metric. You really did cause systemic change in that neighborhood. Now, there are people that, new listeners to the show all the time, and not everybody knows what Ciclovia is. I don't know how, because I was with you at the first one, and then I was out of town for the second one. But just tell a little bit about that. Get people excited for next year. It took Tucson by storm in a town that's so tired of events. This is the event that has taken Tucson by storm, if you ask me.
It's one of the best things going. And I can tell you the date for next year is April 6th. It's going to be on the south side of Tucson, the route we've done, I think, the last 3 years that goes down through the barrios and through South 4th, South 6th, South 8th, in that area, down to about 39th Street, I think. And it's they close down the streets, and everybody is out about.
Huge party.
Yes.
It's a party.
You walk, you skate, you rollerblade, you jog, whatever you want to do. The streets are closed and everyone's just out having a good time.
There's food vendors. There's face painting vendors. There's vendors. There's government agencies. There's Habitat for Humanity's Habit Store. I mean, it is a party and you have to spend an entire day there. There's a lot of technicians for sustainability. I mean, I was like a little hummingbird trying to get to everything. So that's wonderful. And you have a large part of that. Are they not going to do two next year?
They may do one, from what I hear, one in the fall. So there's only one in April, but they may do a second one in the fall, which would be really fun.
It would be fun. And everybody who did the first one wanted to go to the second one. And most people did. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a family event. It's free. It's just all about getting outdoors. And it's at a good time of year.
Yes.
So yeah, I had to do a little thing about Ciclovia. Okay. Now we have to talk about Car-Free Tucson. We don't want to run out of time. So tell me about Car-Free Tucson, which is another part of a big national event, or is it international? I think
Car-Free Day is an international.
That's what I thought.
I think it's worldwide Car-Free Day, which falls on September 22nd every year. And this is the fourth year we're promoting it, and we're doing it a little different this year. The last few years, we've kind of had a grassroots thing where tell us about your commute story, have fun with it, use video. And we still want people to do that. We'd love to see people promote and tell us about their car-free commutes on our Facebook page. But this year, we're asking people to pledge. And Car-Free Day falls on a Sunday this year. So it's kind of, okay, what do you do with Sunday when we usually do on a weekday so we can promote commute trips? Well, we're going all out this year. We're doing a weekend. We're going Friday, Saturday, Sunday, September 20th through the 22nd. So if you want to go car-free on your workday, that's great. If you want to go car-free on a weekend day, even better. You want to go car-free for 3 days? The best thing going. So all you have to do is go to our website, which is carfreetucson.org, and pledge and tell us what days you're going to go car free and how many miles you're going to save, and give us your name and information. So when you win a prize, we know where to send it.
It's kind of like, I promise I'm going to do this. That's the pledge. You don't have to pledge an amount. I don't want people to think they have to pledge an amount. They're just pledging that they're going to do it. And I, of course, off air asked Ruth if I could do it, even though I won't be in Tucson. And she gave me a flat out no. So I can't, because it's for residents of Pima County.
Yes, in Pima County during the weekend. So yeah, I'm afraid you can't go car-free on your vacation.
But I think that's really, there's something really great about that, because it, for some people, it would be easier to say, we're not going to drive the car today. We're going to use bikes and we're going to have a bike trip or whatever, than if they commute to work or they have to use their car for transportation. So I think it's going to be, I can't wait to see the success. Now, you've got some really cool prizes. I told you the Chapman Going Green team today about the prizes. There are some phenomenal prizes that would incentivize people to sign up.
Yes, we're going to give an e-reader. We've done this the last few years.
People love that.
Yep, with Wi-Fi. And then we have some gift cards from a couple of our travel reduction program employers who have donated to us in the past for other events. And then we have some Mrs. Green bags.
But people like to win stuff.
Yep.
They do. It's like, okay, I could enter to win, and it's fun. It's not even so much about the prize, it's about winning. But an e-reader, people like to do that.
Yes.
So what do you want to accomplish long-term over that? Are you hoping that people will see? Because why isn't it that sometimes we could just say we're not going to drive on Saturdays? I mean, there's meatless Mondays for people that want to cut down on eating meat. What about if we started like not driving our car one day of the weekend? It's a really great concept. You think you can change behaviors or at least raise awareness for that?
Well, that's the hope. It's all about trying it. And we're just asking you to go one day. And it's not a lifestyle change that you have to give up your car, but try it. See how easy it is to go for the weekend. One day, I use my bike on the weekends when I go to the gym, and then I go to the farmer's market. It's really simple thing just to do those 2 mile trips on your bike rather than in your car. Whereas for work, it's harder because you need to dress a certain way and it's hot. When I go to the gym, who cares how I look? So it's easy for me to bike to the gym. So we want to get people out of their cars. And if it's not on a commute day, that's okay. We're gonna look at the weekend. And if you don't work either, that's the other thing that's new with this contest. It's always been focused on the commute trip. So you have to go to work to have a commute trip. Well, there's a lot of people who don't go to work every day. There's people that retire or live at home, stay at home, work at home. So now if you can include your weekend, we incorporate a whole group of new people that can actually try being without a car for a day and actually join in the promotion and have fun with it. So we want all these people to participate and pledge. That's all they have to do is pledge, as you mentioned, and tell us about their commute on Car-Free Day on the website and our Facebook page. So go out there and have fun and take pictures.
Yeah, and it's quite honorable that you're having to do that. You've been doing this, you said, you've been involved in, I don't know how long you've been the travel demand management manager, but what are some of your, like, are you seeing things trend upward? Are you excited? Or is it, I think it's hard. I think it's really hard changing cultures, and we're used to doing things the way we do them and not wanting to be inconvenienced. And I applaud you for the innovative, creative, fun things like being a part of Ciclovia, doing what you're doing with Keeling. Those are positives that are that have a ripple effect. But is it more and more challenging? We're such an on-demand culture. I'm sure you have your work cut out for you every day.
It is challenging. I think what we're going to try to do in the future is expand our view of the world, where over the last 25 years, as I've talked about, we've focused on the commute trip. We've focused on getting the message through our employers in town. And there's a lot of employers we don't talk to because they're not big enough. So what we're going to try to do is get more people involved and do more neighborhood type things, grassroots things, expand the program beyond the commute trip so that we're talking to all the community and not just those people that work at the employers with 100 or more employees, and just not talking about the commute trip. I've been hearing this about this from the bike community for several years, and we're finally going to do it. And we're going to talk to more people, and hopefully we'll see more results that way rather than focusing on the one trip a day that they do that might be more routine and longer. And part of the problem too with the commute trippers, people aren't working 8 to 5 anymore and working 40 hours a week. So that really kind of cramps your style if you're going to carpool or vanpool. If you're working flex hours, if you're teleworking, if you have a compressed work week, it makes it more difficult to use alternative modes. So let's try to focus on more of your personal travel and those shorter trips that might be more viable on a bike or a bus or walking. The one thing I'd like to talk about is using your exercise to cover some of your errands. I walk my dog to Walgreens now. If I need something at Walgreens, I'm not going to drive over there. I said, okay, I got to walk the dog. Let's just go over to Walgreens and pick up what I need at Walgreens. So I've now done that trip without having to get in my car. So it's just a little thinking ahead and being a little more creative on how you get about town.
Small steps, big impact. That's exactly what I say. If more people start doing it, it's really, to me, a wonderful thing. And the thing about Tucson, which I think you'll agree, there are lots of good walking neighborhoods. I mean, there are. So you get to do that. Okay, what else do you want to talk about? It is your show, and you can talk about Sun Rideshare.
Well, the one thing I do want to mention is we're going to do a new rewards program in 2014. So we've been doing commuter contests in the last few years. Kind of every other year we run a commuter contest.
Right.
And that is, once again, based on your commute trip. Well, we're going to change that. We're going to do a rewards program, kind of like your frequent flyer program, or everybody has those cards in their wallet where you get a stamp every time.
A bunch of them.
Yes, you get
a bunch of them.
Or you get your car washed, you get a new
stamp.
Eat
here 10 times and you get $5 off. I have at least 10.
Right. So we're going to try a little variation on the theme and start a rewards program where people get points for all the alternative mode trips they take. And we'll make you use our commute calendar, which we're going to revise next year so that it can accommodate those non-commute trips. So you'll be able to record all the trips you take that are by bike or bus or carpool that aren't commute trips and get points for those. And then we're going to give away prizes every so often based on how many points you've earned. So we're going to run that for probably a couple of years. And hopefully we'll get more people involved. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And as I've talked about earlier, you don't have to work to play. So it's...
I love that. Did you make that up?
You don't have
to work to play. I like it a lot.
Yeah, that just came out of my mouth. I'm just such a creative person.
We have to hashtag that on Twitter.
So if you, like I said before, if you're retired, if you're a student, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're self-employed and work at home, now you can play in our rewards program. You don't have to have a commute trip to score and get points and then win prizes. So this will be a new thing for us. And we're making some big updates to our interactive system, our online system, to accommodate these changes. So I'm looking forward to all the changes next year come January.
And once again, are you having partners help you? Because this sounds like another big one. And there's Ruth.
Well, not yet. No, that one's pretty much a solo. But we're going to rely on you and all the other people in Pima County to spread the word. We don't have a big budget or any budget for advertising. So all our promotions are generally word of mouth. So we rely totally on our participants to tell their friends, get their family and friends involved, because we just can't do all the advertising. But I do, my goal next year is to have a billboard. This is on Oracle at Tucson Mall.
Awesome.
So keep your eyes out.
Oh my gosh.
There's going to be a Sun Rideshare Rewards Program billboard on Oracle. And I'm hoping that we're going to get some new players on the program when they see that billboard.
And look at us. We started laughing because we have those reward cards. It will incentivize people. It's a concept of like a local currency, where if you participate and you're going to get really good free stuff and get prizes, I think that's a great idea. And of course, the ultimate goal, which we didn't talk about, is reducing CO2 emissions. I mean, we really didn't. That's what your focus in life is to cut down on cars and CO2 emissions and find alternative modes of transportation.
Yes, we do have an altruistic mission here.
But for everything.
But generally, people do what change their behavior for saving money. And so we all talk about air pollution, and we love to, I mean, the traffic congestion now with the students coming back. We'd all like to relieve the traffic congestion. But ultimately, people do things because it saves the money. So that's what we look at, is incentives and ways to get people to visualize the savings by changing their behavior. And ultimately, we do get some very positive benefits for the community.
How engaged, like, I don't even know how much of a problem this is, but how much do you get engagements from students at the U of A? I mean, is that one of your focus? Do you focus on those kids? Because a lot of them have cars. I know, because I was there yesterday and I couldn't find a parking spot. It was move-in day, I think. And so do you focus on them, or is it a better model for you to focus on a neighborhood school where they're going to bring things home to their family, or is it D, all of the above?
Pretty much all of the above, but we haven't really focused on students, as I mentioned, because we've been focusing on the commute trip. But now that will change. But I have to say, U of A has a huge program to promote alternative transportation. They have a great organization there. They have all sorts of things to offer students. They have a bike sharing program. They have valet parking. They have a car share program, tons of bike racks and storage. So they do a huge amount of work getting their students and faculty and staff out of vehicles and offering them subsidized bus passes and preferential parking for carpoolers. So we couldn't ask of a better partner than the university in promoting alternative transportation.
They really are thought leaders, and they're winning all kinds of awards for sustainability. One was just announced this week about sports, green sports, one of the top 10 in the country for green sports events. I mean, that's huge. Think of the waste there. So that's great. What about, do you want to talk at all a little bit about the streetcar? Because I would think that has to have an impact, even in terms of that little reach and where it's going to go and having an impact on alternative modes of transportation for students that go to the university in 1,000 unit apartment complex is opening up, or maybe it already has opened.
Yeah, all that involved in the project at this point. I do expect to see some change, but we've seen a lot of action downtown as a result of the streetcar already, just with new development. But that will add another mode for us. And I think the ease of transferring from a bus to the streetcar will be huge.
A lot easier, yes.
Yes, with the SunGo card, they're going to accommodate that quite readily. But time will tell on how that works for as an alternative mode. I think it's going to work for those people that live in the neighborhoods, but it's not a great commuting
No, and it's going to be a lot for local businesses down there. I think that and things along that route. Okay, we have about a minute left, and I would like you to repeat a couple of ways that people can stay connected with you. What's the Facebook page? Sign the pledge, excuse me, and your website. I mean, say those so that we have them and we'll repeat them and put it out there.
Great. Our CarFree website is carfreetucson.org. Our regular website for Sun Rideshare is 884 Ride, RIDE.org, and we're Sunride Share on Facebook. And hopefully pretty soon we'll have Twitter and LinkedIn and maybe even YouTube going. So we're going to expand our social media. But
high five for Twitter. I mean, it's our fastest growing media right now. So I don't get it, but I'm glad we're doing it and that we can help you. And things like that. Hashtag Pima County, hashtag bikes. We get retweeted all the time. Biking, all of those things work. So this has been a really great time has flown interview. We've been having a great conversation with Ruth Ryman, Travel Demand Management Manager for Pima Association of Governments. Next week, another great show, Goodwill, Good Futures with Beth Hannon-Penny, a program that Goodwill is doing that's all about helping kids with service learning as young adults. Ruth, thanks for being with us, and thanks for all you do for making a difference for Pima County.
You're quite welcome.